Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 4224.
Identify a person who had a significant influence on you and explain the influence.
I would have to say the person that had the biggest influence on me was my father. I mean, my father has always been a very upstanding man and kind of one of the pillar of the community types, and was always very well regarded by anybody that he would encounter or anybody that just kind of heard about him through word of mouth. They were always very pleased to meet him. You know, he's one of these people that kind of had unwavering ethics about everything, and when he was set on something, he was set on something, and that's the way that it was, and people respected that everywhere that he went. And that's something that I've tried to carry over, not only into my adult life, but being a father as well.
What do you aspire to be?
A lawyer.
How would you describe yourself as a human being?
I'd like to say I'm above average. I'm an individual that I generally tend to put other people before myself. I'm a person that gets a lot of self-gratification out of making other people happy, and doing what I can to help other people out. You know, it always makes me feel good to know that I've done something that either directly affects somebody's life in a positive way, or maybe in the long term will directly affect that person's life in a positive way.
Describe the world you come from and how that world shaped who you are.
I came from a very good home. I mean, my parents were extremely loving parents. My parents were never the type of parents that, you know, did everything for you and waited on you hand and foot. You know, there was a lot of you need to figure it out on your own, coupled with guidance in it. And I really think that that's helped me to become as self-sufficient as I am and as driven as I am now, because I understand that not everything in life is going to be handed to you. There are those people in life that are fortunate enough to have those things literally just handed out to them and say, here you go. But I was one of those people that really had to do it on my own, and it wasn't because my parents weren't there to help me or weren't there to guide me. They just wanted to teach me the lesson that ultimately you need to be able to stand on your own two feet.
Does any specific attribute, quality, or skill distinguish you from everyone else? How did you develop this attribute?
I'd say I have a fantastic ability to be able to talk to people, to calm them down in hostile situations or uncomfortable situations. A lot of that has come through the work that I've done and the work that my mother does. She deals with a lot of unpleasant, or I won't say unpleasant, but dissatisfied people and angry people, and she's kind of coached me along the way to be able to really be able to read people and kind of listen to what it is that they have to say, because sometimes people just want to be heard, and I have the ability to really listen to what it is that people want and what people need.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have, and why?
I think one of the most admirable qualities that a person can have is being able to put other people in front of themselves. I mean, I understand that you need to be able to take care of yourself, but I think part of being a good human being is be able to take care of other people.
What quality do you like best in yourself, and what do you like the least?
I would say the thing that I like the most about myself is my determination and drive. I haven't always had it, but I'd say in the last few years I've just developed this, my friends say, an unnatural drive, because once I put my eyes on something, I do whatever I have to do to get to that point, regardless of what, you know, kind of personal sacrifices are involved in it. You know, not so much for other people, but just, okay, I need to work more, I need to study more, or whatever it is that I need to get to that point. And I would say that the thing I like least about myself would probably be somewhere in the same realm, because when I focus on something like that, it has to be perfect to me. There's really not a lot of room for error. And sometimes I'm a little bit harder on myself than I should be, just as far as, okay, well, my grade wasn't high enough, or, you know, it didn't turn out as well as I had planned, even though other people are telling me, oh, man, that looks great, or, oh, you did such a good job. It wasn't difficult for me, so I could have done more in my eyes.
What kind of values did your parents instill in you that you would like to pass on to your own children?
Take care of other people. My parents were the type of people that, you know, coupled with, you know, you need to be able to stand on your own 2 feet, my parents were always there for other people, whether it be friends, family. You know, my mother worked a lot in charity work, and so did my dad. So, I mean, I would like to pass on to my children that, you know, part of being a good human being is being able to take care of other people.
Tell me how you like to spend time with your family.
One of my favorite things is in my house we have 2 dogs, and one of the things that we like to do is go down to the park and just kind of let them run around and be wild and jump in the water and, you know, still fun, and, you know, watching my child run around after them, and, you know, she's very little right now, so it's kind of fun to see her, you know, chasing after them and getting excited about them, getting all dirty. And
tell me about the most cherished present you ever received for your birthday or holiday, and tell me why this gift was so special.
One of the things, I'd say the most cherished gift I got when I was a kid was my mother needle-pointed me a stocking. And it was something that just from talking to her about it, it took her about 1.5 years to complete. I mean, if she went out and tried to sell these things, she'd be selling them for thousands of dollars. But I think the reason that it's as important to me as it is because, you know, no matter how old you get or how bogged down you get with holidays or, you know, oh God, I spent so much money at Christmas, you know, me just having that one thing in my house during the holidays, it always kind of takes me back to what, you know, what it's all about. You know, it's about, you know, being able to be a kid and be excited, and that's something that, you know, I want my daughter to ultimately have. And it was something that I, you know, I think I got it when I was like 10 years old, but, you know, here I am now, multiple years later, and, you know, I still have it, and it's still just as important to me as it was the day I got it.
Tell me about some activities you enjoyed in your childhood.
I was a real outdoorsy kid. I was never the kid that was inside watching TV. You know, computers weren't as prevalent as they were back then as they are now, but I was always running around the neighborhood with my friends, building forts, and, you know, I did Boy Scouts and all that stuff, so I was always running around, getting dirty, riding bikes, riding skateboards, you know, waiting till the street lights came on so you had to run inside.
What is your favorite book? What types of books do you enjoy?
I like to, I can't really pinpoint one, like, one of my favorite ones off the top of my head. The one that comes to mind was M for Murder, I believe. It's a Sue Grafton book. I don't really read a lot of fiction. I read a lot of kind of truer story stuff, you know, kind of crime and mob stuff like that. You know, I probably read CNN and Time more than anything else.
What is your favorite word and why?
My favorite word is never. And I would say it's my favorite word because I love proving it wrong. So I don't believe that anything is never possible. I think there's always a way around it.
What do you do for fun? What are your hobbies?
I like to hang out with my friends. You know, we watch sports a lot and go play golf. I used to ride motorcycles a lot until I had my child. So now I kind of put that on the back burner. But that was something that I really enjoyed.
Has anyone ever told you that you resemble a particular celebrity?
Yes. You want me to tell you who? For a while I got that I looked like Vin Diesel, and the most one that I've been hearing the most was Harry from Sex and the City.
Evaluate a significant experience, achievement, risk you have taken, or ethical dilemma you have faced and its impact on you.
I'd say the biggest ethical dilemma that I've had recently was in the company that I work for. I had a supervisor that was doing a lot of unsavory practices, you know, not just with product of our company, but money, and then it got involved in personal relationships with employees. And, you know, it was a supervisor that I liked and somebody that, you know, I enjoyed working with, but, you know, unfortunately, I believe that right is right and wrong is wrong. And ultimately, you need to do what's the right thing.
Choose a prominent person, living, deceased, or fictional, whom you would like to interview and explain why.
I would have to say Johnny Cochran. One, because he was an exceptionally famous attorney for obvious reasons. But I'd just like to sit down and talk to him and just hear some of the stories that he probably had to tell about some of the things that he had seen and, you know, helped do in his life.
First experiences can be defining. Cite a first experience that you have had and explain its impact on you.
The first time being a father. You know, being that I was such a driven person, I was very focused on, you know, things that were going to ultimately benefit me and a potential family in the long run. But once I had my child, my drive became about 100% about them. And what can I do to make their life better? And what, you know, parents always want to do and be able to give their kids more than they had when they were young. And I never really understood that until I had my child. But now my drive has become squarely focused on what's best for them.
Is there a work of art, piece of music, scientific phenomenon, mathematic theory, or piece of literature that has surprised or unsettled or challenged you, and in what way?
I don't know that I would say that it's surprised or challenged me, but there's several Ansel Adams photographs that I've always really admired. I did photography when I was in high school and dabbled in it a little bit in my younger adult years. But for me, those photographs, I mean, the giant mountains and the forests and things like that, to me, there was just a lot of mystery wrapped in it. You know, what was going on at the time, and if I was standing there right now, what would it look like? And, oh, that mountain is huge. I wonder what it's like on the top of it. So looking at those really just kind of jogs your imagination and just kind of reminds you what it's like to think like a child.
Have you ever experienced a moment of epiphany as if your eyes were open to something you were previously blind to? Describe this moment and your percepts about it.
Again, I would have to reference my child in that, you know, you never really truly, truly understand what loving somebody is about. I mean, I remember the first time I held my child after they were born, and just how it's an indescribable thing. And at that point, my eyes really just were opened, and there's like light bulbs just went off in my head that this was really what it was all about. It wasn't about money or cars or huge houses or anything like that. It was just about taking care of them and making sure they had a great life.
What is your approach to life?
To the fullest.
What was the most difficult time in your life? How did you overcome these difficulties? How did your perspective on life change as a result of the difficulty?
I think the most difficult thing was when my parents got divorced. I mean, I was barely a teenager when it happened, and for me, I had had a brother at the time, an older brother, and he, I mean, I don't want to say was as emotionally equipped to deal with it, because what child is emotionally equipped to deal with something like that? But I ultimately, being the younger brother, I had to step up and take care of him and make sure that he was okay. You know, so I felt like it kind of robbed me of a lot when I was younger, because I had to grow up very fast just to make sure that, you know, not only my mother was okay with everything, but my dad was okay and my brother was okay, and I just kind of put my feelings about it to the side to make sure that everything else was okay.
Describe your most rewarding experience.
I'd say when I got my college degree. It took a lot of work for me to get it. I put it off for a while, and then ultimately decided that I needed to go back and finish. And it was such a huge accomplishment for me, because I didn't have anybody holding my hand or really helping me when I went through it. I was working full time. I had just had a brand new child, and I finished it in 3 years instead of four. So for me, that was a huge accomplishment to be able to finish.
Did you have a favorite board game when you were a kid?
I had a favorite card game, and that was Uno. Me and my brother and my friends just used to sit there and play it for hours and hours and hours.
Who is your favorite actor?
One of my favorite actors, I would say, is Robert De Niro. just from the movies that he's done all the way down to Taxi Driver to the more recent stuff he's done. I think one of the favorite movies that I've ever saw him in was in Goodfellas. I just really enjoy that he has such a broad range of characters instead of just focusing on one. Like Jim Carrey, he always plays the bumbling idiot. And for him, he just always played a lot of different characters, which I appreciated.
What is your favorite dinner?
Lasagna.
What is the craziest thing you have ever done?
When I was in high school, part of our senior prank, we released barn animals into our high school. And I remember us driving through the neighborhoods. You know, this is when cell phones weren't really a big deal, so a lot of the people that I went to high school with had CB radios in their cars. So it was just... It's a funny memory of us just going through the neighborhoods and the back streets trying to avoid the police, and then when we finally got there and cutting the locks on the school and opening the doors and letting all the animals in, it's just, to this day, it still makes me laugh.
What is the first thing you do in the morning?
Go into my child's room and give them a kiss.
What is something you wish you can do but you can't?
Well, again, I don't really believe in saying can't about a lot of things. I mean, I wish I could fly without a plane or, you know, be able to just run outside and hop into the sky. That would probably be about it.
Tell me what you would consider a romantic evening.
I'm kind of a person that I like simpleness. I like simplicity. One of the things that we like to do currently is, well, there's a bluff that's near our house that you can go up and just kind of sit and watch the sun go down. And we'll go up there with a bottle of wine and just sit there and just enjoy each other and not really having to say much of anything. You know, sometimes those are the best moments, is just being there with each other and really living in that moment and not having to talk and have a bunch of filler about, oh, well, my day was this, and oh, I did this yesterday, and... You know, sometimes the most romantic things don't need soundtracks or dialogue or anything.
What is the nicest thing you could do for your significant other?
The thing that she appreciates the most is flowers. Whenever I bring her flowers, she's pretty happy, and she's usually floating around for a few days afterwards.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
I'd say the biggest reason was that I have some friends who are having a hard time conceiving right now, and they went through a program like this to be able to get donors, to be able to get pregnant. So for me, it was, I know how much joy my child brings me, and I know how much every single day I wake up, and that's on the forefront of my mind, and whenever I go to sleep, that's the last thing I think about, and that's the first thing that I see when I wake up in the morning. And I think that I think everybody should be able to have that opportunity, and if I can do something to be able to help people out there that don't have the ability in themselves to be able to do it, that to me is extremely rewarding, to be able to give somebody a gift that nobody in the world can give them.
Is there a message you would like to add for recipients or offspring listening to this interview?
For the recipients, I would say, if things do work out for you, and if you are blessed, just enjoy it, and don't ever take it for granted. Don't ever worry about the crying, or the diapers, or the crayons on the walls, or anything like that. Just cherish all of it. Because you'll wake up one day and then they'll be running around and they'll be talking to you, and then the next day they're, you know, going out the door to go to college, and it's going to go by so fast, and it's such a cliche, and everybody says it, oh, they just grow up so fast, but it really is true. So make sure that you really live in every moment. For any potential children that are, you know, brought out of this, I would say that if you ultimately find out the way that your parents came about having you, just remember that they may not have been able to do it on their own, but know that they went through every possible means to be able to love you as much as they do. You know, sometimes everybody needs a little help, and your parents might have needed a little bit of help to make you be here. But just know that they went through a lot to be able to make sure that you're here.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 4224.